How can I work? How can I work against racism if you won't show me what racist is? And the people will give you anecdotal situations. And I realize that every person out there has a different experience than we do. I realize, as I've talked about, there are friends of mine who have been pulled over multiple times within 3 weeks. There was a friend of mine who had a brand new car. He was pulled over three times in 3 weeks, and every single time was asked for his title. I don't know why that happened. Was it because he was black? It raises some red flags. It raises some suspicions, yeah. But honestly, I don't know the circumstances of that, and I can't build an ideology because of one experience. It's anecdotal, which means it's just an example. It's an anecdote of something that happened in your life. I can't exegete that, nor can I build a policy on it. We can investigate why it happened, but we'd have to have a controlled environment. We'd have to find out who the officers were. So if you're going to tell me that I need to change something and that I'm racist if I don't change or actively oppose it, can you please tell me what it is I have to actively oppose to appease you? Because I would really like to know that. And another thing about this is they twist this around, and we would just really say here that, yes, not doing something when you know it's wrong is complicity. Not helping in a situation to stop something, you're complicit in that. Much like all of the liberal left elitists were complicit in Harvey Weinstein's disgusting sexual mistreatment of women because they knew about it and they didn't do anything about it. Just like they were complicit in Epstein's foul pedophilia and they didn't do anything about it even though they knew about it. So I agree. I agree with the idea that if you know something is wrong and you don't try to stop it, then you're complicit. But please, let me know what I have to oppose. Give me an example. I'm not going to just follow your... I'm not just going to just march to your drum when you say, okay, well, this system is racist, so we need to abolish that. Okay, it's racist. No, what do you mean it's racist? Show me the examples. What are the policies? Where are the circumstances that show that this is a systemically racist organization or system? I got to know that because I can't just operate without that. The second point she goes into here is there is no such thing as reverse racism. Yet again, engaging and changing the word here. Now, this is important, folks, because this is what somebody who has an influential podcast and blog, who is educating educators, who is trying to help educators understand the discussions that center around race. And she says here, there's no such thing as reverse racism. Now, reverse racism, if you're unfamiliar with it, is a black person hating a white person. Now, we say reverse racism, but that there is a loaded term, I believe. And anybody who is well-trained in logic can help me out with this and make sure that I'm saying this correctly. But to say that it's reverse racism would indicate that the only way a person could be racist is if you were white against another person of color. And that you have to flip that and say it's now reverse racism. There's no reason to say reverse racism. It's racism. If you hate somebody because of their skin color, you're a racist. Prejudicial, whatever term you want to use. I haven't found a term prejudicial every time you say it's a little bit cumbersome. So racism or racist is a word that people are familiar with. So I use that word. But she says here that it's not possible because as we've established, racism cannot exist without a history of systemic oppression and marginalization. Racism is rooted in privilege and power. People of color may hold prejudice toward white people or be biased against us, but prejudice and racism are very different things. It's not just semantic. Did you hear this? People of color may hold prejudice toward white people or be biased against us, but prejudice and racism are very different things. It's not just semantics. They're saying here, she says, I'll just read what she says. You have to look at which groups of people have historically had the privilege and power in this country in order to fully understand how racism works. Racism is rooted in a system of white supremacy. So it's about more than just how individuals treat one another. That's a deep topic. It's enough to know that that encountering a student or parent who says something rude to you or about you as a white person does not make you the victim of racism. Their actions, while unkind and harmful to your relationship, may be a result of frustration with white privilege and constant marginalization on a daily basis. So because they've been mistreated, they can treat you horribly as well, because they're just frustrated. Much like if you're a rioter destroying public property, you should be okay to do that. Well, because that's your way of expressing frustration. Where does that end? Where do we stop that? Racism doesn't go both ways, they say. So based on this definition, since it has to have a supremacy, marginalization, and systemic racism against a person, I can go to China where there's no history of white suppression, white supremacy, and I can call them all manner of disgusting, filthy, vile names and have microaggressions and frustrations against them. And that's just me expressing my attitudes against Chinese privilege. It doesn't make any sense. They're trying to make racism no longer what it means. They're trying to make it an all-encompassing umbrella. So pretty much, if you're not a person of color, i.e. if you are a white person, you are now the root cause of all systemic racism, all institutional racism, and all marginalization against those of color. That's just, they're changing the terms. They're changing the entire scope of racism, and they're teaching your kids this stuff. Number three, there are different rules for white people and people of color when talking about race. We covered that. They can say whatever they want to you because they're frustrated because of a system, again, a system of oppression. Number four, it's not racist, nor is it creating division for people of color to talk about how they experience the world differently than white people. Colorblindness is not a thing to aspire to. I agree with that to a certain extent. I don't want to be colorblind. I want to see all the beautiful colors that God has created in his magnificent, glorious cosmos. You wouldn't stand in front of a Picasso and say, I'm colorblind, I don't see anything. You wouldn't look at a Monet and say, I don't see color. A bull, you see color. You see the expressions and the paintbrush and the brush marks and the impressionism. You see the style, you see the color and how they work together. Enjoy the work of art, enjoy the masterpiece. Don't be colorblind because that's silly. Five, you've been told that it is racist to see or talk about color. That was probably in a situation where you are pointing out race in a completely irrelevant context. So you can't describe people. If you tell a story about one of your kids and you say the little black boy in my class said the cutest thing, if you do that, that's now a racist thing. You can't use that as a descriptor, because by saying the little black boy, you're making them different, because if you say the little boy, it automatically assumes that he's white, and your descriptor of him being black means that there's a separation and he's not normal. That's what they say. I'm going to spare you the details of all of the steps she takes. But using descriptors of race that are both inclusive and empowering, you can say the tall Hispanic girl. That's what she says here. Some other points, and I want to get to all of these here, honestly, because we don't have time. And also, they're just the first few on these should be enough for you to realize that the majority of these things are in themselves training people to think that because we are different, we are inferior, and people of color are far superior. Number eight says you can prevent knee-jerk defensiveness by actively working to decenter your experiences as a white person in conversations about race. White people enslaved millions of Africans for hundreds of years, so did Muslims. Having this fact pointed out should not make you immediately proclaim your personal innocence or start citing evidence about black people who also own slaves. Don't deflect. Don't get defensive. Don't cry. You didn't enslave people. And get this, folks. You didn't enslave people. You're not responsible for that. You are, however, responsible for not perpetuating white supremacy now. Remember, you're not off the hook because you denounced the KKK. It's not enough to be pro-diversity. You have to be anti-racism. We are anti-racism. We are anti-hate. I can post this up in the chat room. You can read the rest of these ludicrous things here. I am at a point now, folks, where this debate about race is, it's going to lose. Because these tips that they're giving us, these tricks that they're trying to show you to train kids and teach kids, it's ridiculous. Do we know why it's ridiculous? Absolutely, we know why it's ridiculous. Because all of this is, the only reason they're doing these things is it's behavior modification. That's all it is.